The best friends of the Rush Hour podcast, part two. The Rush Hour on Triple M, June 3.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. We've got one of the big fellas on the line right now.
This next guest is one of the most feared players in the NRL, who, by the way, is representing us, Mikey New South Welshman, in Origin Game 1 on Wednesday. Good luck trying to tackle him, Queensland. He was born in New Zealand, but moved to Australia when he was a teenager, proudly representing Western Sydney as the Eels star prof. He's currently locked down with the pride of New South Wales Rugby League. But in a Rush Hour exclusive, direct from the New South Wales Blues camp, please welcome Junior Paulo.
Junior Paulo in there at New South Wales camp. How are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Mate, fantastic to hear your voice. How's it all going? How's Freddie? And how much are you looking forward to Wednesday night?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Been a good experience so far, and probably one of the camps that you definitely look forward to being a part of, just with all the quality of players that we've got. And, you know, Freddie does his job on bringing the boys together, and he's certainly done that well in the first couple of days.
Well, mate, speaking of that, mate, obviously you've got a great squad there. Mate, I've got to ask, how's it been having Alex Volkanovski involved in the camp?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, he jumped in front of us today. And
who are those idiots behind you?
Who's that?
Yeah, it's definitely the Penrith boys.
Of course it is.
No, it was good having Alex talk to the boys today and really, you know, I guess just shows the mental side of that he faces within when he steps into the octagon and how that reflects on us taking the field next Wednesday.
Junior, isn't it funny to think that wasn't that long ago that he was playing with Warilla Gorillas, he was playing front row at about 91, 92 kilos, and now I think he's about 67, 69 kilos?
Yeah, that's what he was just saying. So there's not much of him that's left, but he definitely knows how to swing. Yeah. So definitely won't be saying anything about him.
Junior, what's the key for Origin 1? How is it going to be won for the Blues?
Origin's just one of those arenas where you just got to turn up and you keep finding something no matter how exhausted you are. And, you know, for us, I feel like we've got a good combination, you know, definitely partnering up with, you know, Payne Haas and Isaiah Yeo there, who's that link between the combination that they've got between the Penrith boys. And, you know, it certainly shows why they're at the top of the table, because what they bring to us as collectively as a group is certainly making our job a lot easier as well.
There's a few players that you'd expected to have actually been selected, but of course because of injury with Latrell and Tom, who were so strong last year. So I suppose just getting to know a few new faces this year as well, that first couple of days to get to know each other.
Yeah, you know, having Katoni, Stephen Cron's been part of the camp before, but, you know, having all these new faces coming to camp, you've only got a certain amount of time to really gel and get to know everyone. So this first couple of days has been awesome, but, you know, what Katoni does on the field, it was surprising to see him in action today at training. So definitely one of them freakish players, and certainly can't wait to take the field with him next week.
Junior, who's been the scallywags in Origin camp? Is it the Penrith boys?
I think you can hear them, yeah.
Yeah, they certainly know how to pester their way around the group. But, definitely just keeps bringing the energy and keeps everyone up. So, you know, we all enjoy it, and certainly enjoy the boombox around too.
Yeah, you certainly do. And I like the way that you guys, you know, roll. But I've got to ask you about the Queensland side there. So for you, who's the blokes that you need to look out from? I know it's collectively they're a good squad, but who are the main strike players for them, you think?
Yeah, everyone wants to get one up on their opposite number. And certainly for me, it's Josh Papali. So he'll be looking to lead from the front with Gino. But then, you know, you've definitely got strike all over that field with both young wingers doing their thing at club footy. And, you know, you definitely have to watch out for them guys getting their sets started. So definitely got to do our job in the middle. But, you know, when you've got those two young guys who definitely make meters from the backfield, definitely be hard to stop.
Speaking of club footy, obviously the Eels have been going well. And you've got Regan Campbell-Gillard and also Ryan Madison in the Origin squad. How do you reckon the boys will go while you're on Origin leave at the moment?
Yeah, I can't wait to see the boys take the field, especially doing what we love in our club and then being able to do it on a big stage like Origin next week. So Maddox and Regan have probably been in career best form this year. And, you know, surprisingly, what Maddox has been doing off the bench for us at Parramatta, Let's say he does that next Wednesday, because he's certainly been playing career best form.
Mate, please give a big cuddle to those absolute lunatics behind you. Say that we love them as well. Junior Paulo, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time. It means so much to us to be able to chance to talk to you in camp. You know how much we love the Blues, and we just cannot wait for you to go and do the business on Wednesday.
Good luck Wednesday, Junior.
Cheers, thank you.
June 8.
When you're talking rugby union, let's talk to this Welsh wizard.
This next guest is Welsh and very good at rugby, like, or as they say in Wales, da iawn mewn rugby. Is that really Welsh for he's really good at rugby? You've got no idea. But seriously, this guy's good. He's won 94 caps for Wales, 3 for the British and Irish Lions, and, oh boy, that is a long Wikipedia page. Let's just skip to the part where he now plays as centre for the Waratahs, here to be asked by the guys if he can put a New South in front of that Wales part and a league after that rugby part so he can play for the Blues. Possibly, I'm not sure, they might have other questions in mind. Please welcome to the Rush Hour, Jamie Roberts.
G'day, Jamie. How are you, mate?
How you doing, buddy? All right?
Yeah, we're very well, thank you. Obviously, we want to talk to you about the Waratahs and a little bit more about yourself. The fact is, winless season last year. We didn't know quite what to do with ourselves, but now you're about to play in the finals. And how have you enjoyed your time at the Tars?
Oh, mate, it's been unreal. I had a really, really good, I guess, 4 or 5 months. It's very different, the season down here. The domestic season is obviously very, very short compared to back home. But arrived here start of February. It's been a really welcoming group. I've had such a great time. Learned a lot. Felt I developed as a player as well, you know, at the age of 35. Kind of surprised. But really enjoyed it, mate. I think, you know, it's a great group. I wasn't here last year, so I didn't experience, obviously, the disappointing year they had last year. But, you know, with the coaches they've got and the environment they've created, you know, we've got a group that's grown throughout the season and can't wait to rip in tomorrow.
Mate, tell us, how did you get down here? Who recruited you and how did it happen?
Well, DC got in touch just before Christmas, actually. I was sat on my sofa back home with my partner who grew up in Manly. The opportunities that came down, they had a few injuries in the midfield. A couple of lads, young lads, both had ACLs, so they were looking for cover in the midfield. And I was sat on the sofa with my partner, and she didn't need much persuasion to come down. And she was about 7 months pregnant at the time. So, you know, we had our boy in Wales, and yeah, we came down to Sydney, had our baby girl 10 weeks ago. So it's been a dream move, really. It's been amazing.
Good on you, Jamie. We're talking to Jamie Roberts, a Welsh rugby union player, 94 caps for Wales. Also, you were capped by the British and Irish Lions. We want to talk about that for a moment. One of those bucket list moments when the British and Irish Lions come down to Sydney or come to Australia on tour. It doesn't happen that often, every 12 years. What was it like playing in that red jersey?
Oh, mate, pinnacle for me. You know, I missed the first two tests. I actually got injured against the Waratahs the week before the first test, tore my hamstring, missed the first two tests, and then came back in the side for the third test, got a try, you know, $80,000 at the ANZ. In Sydney, unreal experience. I'm trying to explain to the lads what the Lions is going to be like in 3 years' time. But, you know, I think half of the UK will be out in UK and Ireland will be out in Australia, mate, because no one travelled for South Africa, because of COVID. Yeah. None of the fans. So all these fans who have missed out on the Lions, they will have missed out on the Lions tour for the past 8 years. So the travelling support for Australia in 3 years' time is going to be immense. You know, you've got the Rugby World Cup and both Rugby World Cups to follow. So, you know, for Australian rugby, the next 5 to 10 years is absolutely huge. To be a part of that, I guess, this season with the Tars, you know, I've made some lifelong friends here, no doubt. And, you know, that Lions tour in 3 years is going to be unreal.
Mate, I've got to ask you, what about Italy beating Wales in the Six Nations? Can you believe that?
Oh, there's no need to bring that up.
Oh,
Wendell.
No, sorry. So I can't believe that.
We're having a nice chat.
Yeah, well, I know.
No, it's fair, man. It's been a really disappointing year for Wales. It's been tough watching the Six Nations from out here. You know, getting up early. Obviously, the time difference. You know, waking up at 2-3 a.m. in the morning to watch it, and they're going through a difficult period. You know, there's nothing to sharpen the focus, quite like a 3-test tour to the Springboks in the summer, who were the world champs. So, look, they've gone through a disappointing season, but, you know, let's use the example of the Waratahs this year. Sometimes it takes that year of pain to really learn what you're about and know where you need to grow. So, hopefully, 18 months out from the Rugby World Cup, Wales will start on an upward trajectory now and build, but they're going to have to build quickly.
Quarterfinal against the Chiefs, obviously at 2 p.m. on Saturday. What are you expecting from the Chiefs?
Oh, mate, they're physical. They're physical. The power and pace they bring to the game. The collisions are going to be brutal, mate. The contact there is going to be brutal.
Watch every match of the Super Rugby Pacific on the home of Rugby Stan Sport. And, of course, many games. But the one we're talking about now, Chiefs versus Waratahs, Saturday at 2 p.m. It's a real pleasure talking to you, Jamie. And wish you all the very best tomorrow night. And no dramas if you want to come back here and just settle in Australia, mate. You'd be very welcome.
Happy days. Give me a job on Stan, mate. Cheers.
No worries at all. There he is, Jamie Roberts. What a legend.
The best friends of the Rush Hour podcast. Part 2. The Rush Hour on Triple M. June 14. Our next guest is a former New Zealand rugby union superstar. He played for the Crusaders in Super Rugby and the New Zealand Sevens team. For 7 years, he wore his black and whites with pride, scoring 26 international tries, and he's one of the most capped outside backs in All Black history. After retiring in 2019, he's taken up a new challenge, waking up to a 4 a.m. alarm to host a brekkie radio show. Oh, he's nuts. Everyone knows 2 hours of drive in the Arvo's the best gig, right, guys?
Yeah! Very good.
Welcome to the Rush Hour, union superstar, Izzy Dagg.
Yeah, we've got Izzy Dagg on the line right now from New Zealand. We're talking RTS with you, Izzy. And after 10 games of footy, he's in the All Black squad. Do you reckon he might get a run?
How? What an intro. you're spot on. Who gets up that early and talks rubbish in the morning? This is like gentleman's hour, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It certainly is. 2 hours. That's all we can get Wendell to do, big fella, to be honest with you.
Wendell. I've had a chat to Wendell too, mate. He's an absolute champion with Baz McCullum. But, boys, RTS, huge news. It was always going to happen. Obviously, you've got an athlete, a pedigree like his himself with what he's been able to do in the game of league. I think the transition was always going to be there. Look, he's made all the great, showed all the great signs for the Blues outfit. He's playing midfield. I think the big question mark is, what is his best position? Midfield at the moment is where he's excelling at and making all the right signs, and he's got an opportunity.
Let's talk about rugby league over in New Zealand, if you don't mind, mate. Obviously, Stacey Jones taken over and not being able to play at home for so long, and they literally kept the NRL going for a couple of years now. But at what stage do you say that's not an excuse anymore for them being so inconsistent and just not being just good enough for 80 minutes once a week?
Oh, I think about 6 matches ago, mate.
Right, yeah.
It's just, everyone's dealt with COVID, and COVID's just a part of our lives now, and travelling and being playing sports. Look, it is hard for these boys. They've got families and kids, and in my point of view, I probably struggle as well because I'm a real family man. I need to be around my family. But just some of the things you can control. You can control effort. You can control your attitude, and these little moments and glimpses out there where we see it, but then on the other side of the ball, we just see little things like, letting the winger, he's obviously going to score a try, but letting them get closer to the post and kick the goal over, save 2 points. Just little things where you can measure care, effort. Mate, it's been the biggest talking point. I do a radio show now with Tony Kent. He's an ex-Warriors coach. Week in, week out, I'm trying my hardest to try and find something to talk about the Warriors that's positive, but I just can't. Yeah. I just can't.
Izzy, we're all up and about after the Socceroos made the FIFA World Cup this morning, but there's one spot to play for, and New Zealand play Costa Rica. How is everyone looking in terms of the Kiwis?
Oh, mate, we're all up and about. The best thing about that, lads? That game kicks off at 6 a.m. And my radio show is actually commentating it, so I've got to sleep in.
Perfect. Beautiful. Happy days.
So in that case, I'm really happy. But no, look, it'll be a pretty special special time if we're able to do it. Our last time we made the World Cup, FIFA World Cup, was in 2009, and Wellington was absolutely humming. So this time it's changed now with just one game in a neutral arena up against Costa Rica. Yeah, look, Danny Hay and Chris Wood and the lads will be right behind them. If they get the job done, this country will be buzzing. It's pretty special. The football fans, they're one of a kind, I must say. Yeah. Us Kiwi All Blacks fans, we're so boring. You watch those football fans, mate. They get right up and about.
Yeah, well, you blokes are boring because you're so good. It's going to be fantastic to watch RTS obviously do his magic. Yeah. Got the Super Rugby final, Auckland Boo versus Crusaders, coming up on Saturday night, 5 p.m. Sydney side. Go the mighty Crusaders.
Go Crusaders.
Izzy Daggs, thanks so much for joining us, mate. Best of luck in your new career in the media, and really appreciate you taking some time out with us today.
Nah, too easy, mate. Bryce Casey, he's an absolute champion. He messaged me yesterday. Mate. Anything for the champs. No, anytime, boys.
Good on you, mate.
Cheer on, my brother. June 15.
Our next guest is an AFL young gun who grew up right here in New South Wales as a member of the Giants Academy. He was a regular top-up for the Giants in the NEAFL during his under-19 year. He made his Giants debut in 2016, where he's gone on to become one of the club's rising stars with 146 goals to his name. AFL is in his blood. His brother Elliot plays for the Adelaide Crows. Talk about sibling rivalry. Please welcome to the Rush Hour, GWS star and the guy with the best last name in the AFL, Harry Himmelberg. Yeah, I like saying that.
Yeah, it is one of the great surnames. There's no doubt about that. Harry, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, fam.
Mate, absolutely our pleasure. Obviously, a big game up against the Bulldogs, a rivalry that you guys have had now for quite a few years. It's a big one on the weekend, mate.
Yeah, it's formed into quite a little rivalry, and we couldn't be more excited.
Harry, it's Jude. You must be thriving and enjoying the shift down in defence where you're still getting plenty of disposals, still kicking that goal or so a game. It's you've been on fire.
Yeah, I've liked the move, to be honest, Jude. I think I have played a little bit of back in the past, and it's been a little bit different role in the past, probably more of a key defender. But yeah, I'm learning every week, and it's good when you've got guys like Isaac Cumming and even Cal Ward for parts of the game down there. Sort of watch a lot of their running patterns and stuff like that.
Good on you, Harry. And of course, your brother, as we said in the opener, plays for the Adelaide Crows. How much do you watch those games? How much do you talk footy? How much is the family focused on both of you? And who do they go for, mum and dad?
The percentage of focus is probably pretty heavily on mum and dad. They love it. So they come to pretty much all of our games, like FIFO workers, but they watch footy. So no, they're right into it. My little sister enjoys coming along as well. So our family group chat gets a little bit of banter in it, but not a lot.
Hey, Harry, you're a bit like me, mate. You're a man that loves nature. Mate, how's the camping going, mate? You obviously love it in your spare time.
Yeah, no, I do enjoy getting out in the bush. It's not too hard in Sydney. I think if you go north, south, west, you can pretty much find some good spots. And there's a few other boys at the footy club. Harry Perryman, he's a Riverina boy as well. So we do cop it a little bit at the footy club because we're rolling around in utes and we live in the city and whatnot. But it's a good outlet for me, and it really helps me keep my mind clear, and good way to sort of get out and see the country.
Gussie's been obviously stalking you on Instagram because he's brought up your setup for camping though, mate.
He's glamping more than camping.
No. You've got an amazing setup. You've got the dogs in the back.
Mate, dogs don't look like they're looking for a feed either. They're looking like they're very comfy, those puppies.
Mate, sensational setup.
Yeah, I let the big fella off. That was out at the Wattigans State Forest, and I let our three-year-old dog off, and took us probably about 20 minutes to find him, me and the missus. So they're getting parked, I think, for the rest of the year.
Good on you, Harry. Just one question back to the AFL, mate. It looked done and dusted. The Demons were going to go back-to-back. They were going to go undefeated. It was only 3 weeks ago. Since then, of course, as we all know, they've lost three in a row. Brisbane are on top of the table. It just shows where the AFL is, and that everyone can beat each other on any given weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's good for the competition. That sport, you can't really sort of pick a moment. But I think we're just trying to sort of put into place some of the things that Mark's brought into our footy club, and some of the tweaks and stuff that he's made. But we saw last year we were probably not looking like we'll make finals throughout the back end of the year, and we ended up putting together a pretty successful season, made it to an elimination final. So yeah, we're certainly not giving up, and it starts on the weekend. I think against the Dogs, we need a win there. So
should be a cracker.
And like you say, at home Saturday night, it's going to be an absolute ripper. Harry, thanks so much for joining us, mate, and best of luck for the rest of the season. And you take care.
The best friends of the Rush Hour podcast, part two. The Rush Hour on Triple M, June 22.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Maroon filling in for Gus. He's off for some R&R. Jude and Wendell, well, we've had some big guests over the course of this year, but, well, boys, it's time for this.
It's not often that we get royalty on the Rush Hour, although these three do sit on the throne a lot when the songs are playing. But today, we've got Aussie rock royalty. Our next guest holds the title for having the most number one albums in ARIA chart history, beating the likes of U2 and Madonna.
Jimmy!
He's been inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame twice and has been the heartbeat of Aussie music for over 40 years. His new album, Soul Deep 30, is celebrating 30 years since the release of his highest selling album. Please welcome the GOAT of Australian music, Jimmy Barnes.
Oh, Barnesy, I have to say, mate, welcome firstly.
Yes.
Yes, thanks very much, guys. Nice to be there.
And I feel like over the last, you know, 2.5 decades being here myself, I feel like you're Triple M royalty as well, old mate.
Well, we sort of grew up together, you know. When I think I was there the day he opened.
Wow.
I was probably knocking on the door saying, "Come on, play my record." What a life we've had together, right?
Absolutely, mate. It's been beautiful, and every chance we get to have you here live, we do. And
mate, that's good.
Triple M audience just absolutely love you. This particular album, which we're celebrating, Soul Deep 30, and we go back to when you released that album, mate. And I remember thinking at the time, you know, you'd had such success with Chisel, then as a solo artist, but you just go a completely different way with Soul Deep, and it says a lot about your confidence at the time, I suppose.
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, it wasn't even that. You know, I mean, I grew up listening to soul music as a young fella, and then once I sort of, like most kids, I got to about, you know, 12 or 13, and I just wanted to be in a rock and roll band. Mm. But I still wanted to sing like those guys that I'd listened to as a young fella. So when this was recorded, I think it was 91, I started recording this record. We were touring with the album Two Fires, because we called it the album that wouldn't die. It just kept selling, which was a great thing to have, opportunity to have.
Yeah.
And so we continued touring, and we had 2 weeks off over Christmas. And so I had all my band and everybody come stay at my house for 10 days. And I thought, you know, we're going to be tripping over each other's feet. It's going to be, you know, chaos. I said, I had a studio in the house. I said, why don't we just go downstairs? And every day we'll just pick a song or two and record something, just see what happens. And we didn't plan it to be a soul record even. It was just, we went down there and we started picking songs we loved. And all the songs that we used to sing at sound checks or parties and stuff. And after about 3 days, we realized all the ones we'd cut so far were soul songs. Mm. So we went, oh, there's an indicator there. You know, all those, most, you know, every song on that record is such a well-crafted, well-written song. So we finished doing it. And it was done with, you know, with joy and lots of enthusiasm. There was no pressure. We weren't sure we were even going to release it. And we finished it and we thought, God, it sounds good. You know, it sounds like it's got that joy in that in it. So we sent a copy to Michael Kaninsky, and Michael, like you, he's being pragmatic. He said, you know, are you sure you want to do this? You know, you might alienate your audience. And I thought, you know what? Let's run with it, you know. And if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, so what? It's, you know, these are great songs, and we've had a great time doing it.
Barnes,
you know, of course, I should have known that the song's that good. And all you had to really do was do a reasonable performance, and it just went through the roof. It's the biggest selling record I ever had.
Oh, Barnes, you know, you just keep evolving. I love it. You know, I got the opportunity to meet you. It's Wendell Saylor here, but the other night,
Wendell.
How you going, mate? All right,
but just good, watching, mate, really good.
Yeah, just watching you on stage the other night at the Logies with your son. Like, I love David. I'm a massive fan. You know, and just you and him, the energy that, how good is that to do, especially after the last couple of years? You know, we've been through COVID and stuff, but just go on stage, the Logies, and just everybody loves you, Jimmy.
Mate, it was so great, you know, and you know, like the Logies is, you know, as you know, TV, movie world and all that sort of stuff. It's not really my world, but to see those people who, for like everybody else in like the music industry, have been locked down for 2 years, finally get to be able to go out and celebrate their industry, you know, the best of their industry. And for us to be able to go out and help lift them in a celebration. And with my son, David, you know, we had Mahalia there, had Jackie there, you know, it's very much a family thing. You know, we were having a great time doing all those lockdown videos and stuff, but there's something about getting out in front of an audience where you can see their whites of their eyes and ready, you know, you can really feel what they're wanting, and bang, you know, it lifts you as a singer to a new world. It's awesome, mate.
Hey, Barnsley, stick around because we know you had COVID in the course of this year, and the boys are interested to ask you how you got through that. We'll do that, and we'll talk more to Barnsley when the rush hour continues here at Triple M. From the album Soul Deep, it's great to play a bit of Barnsley. There Ain't No Mountain High Enough, a wonderful cover of a great song. And we're speaking to Jimmy Barnes too on the rush hour. If you've just joined us here at Triple M, and Barnsley, like most of us, you had the Rona, you had COVID in the early parts of this year. How did you recover from it, mate? And did it affect your performance as much?
I'm okay, actually. Yeah, I think I'm singing fine. I was about a month and a half ago, maybe now. But I went on an antivirals while I got it, so that just because I had heart surgery, you know, many years ago, and I didn't want to have any long damage. So I don't seem, you know, touch wood, I don't seem to have any sort of long COVID symptoms. And I got it pretty mild. I was lucky and had the nurse of doom, my Jane. So, you know, so I was all right. But, you know, it was at the first few days of rehearsal, I was, you know, I'm feeling a bit worse for wear. But by the time we hit stage in Adelaide last weekend, I was smashing it.
Awesome. Barnsley, you're not having a great year, mate. I mean, Soul Deep 30 is going to be absolutely huge. But if you think about it, you've already had COVID. You're a West Tigers supporter, mate. Oh, yeah. Something's got to turn around for you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't tell me we're going to win State of Origin.
Oh, no. You're not going to do that, mate. Trust me.
Geez, it was that tough, wasn't it? Wasn't that a tough game that last time?
But that's what Origin's about.
Queensland looked better, man. Queensland looked better.
And Barnes, you know, it's funny. The last time I saw you actually was after a Wallabies game. I think, you know, you came in and saw the boys, and mate, the boys loved you being there because obviously you're Scottish descent. But mate, you know, you love a sport, and you know, we all love that. You know, about you.
Oh, mate, well, you know, it's that competition. The competition between humans is awesome. You know, we push each other to do things that we're not capable of normally doing. And, you know, State of Origin, it doesn't matter whether you're a Queenslander or a New South Welshman, they go up there and everything is on the line. And, you know, it's a competition that I play games, show games of State of Origin matches to some of my American friends, and they just think people are crazy here. They think it's the best competition in the world. So, you know, I'm happy to watch it. You know, of course I'd like to win, but, you know, but it's great. And, you know, and I love sports. I love that competition. You know, I love that drive, and I love that, you know, people trying to, you know, every night when I sing, I think my shows are like a boxing match or a bloody football match, because every night you get up there and you go out there and you don't come off until there's nothing left in the tank. Well, you don't do it. You leave it all out there. Don't bring any home.
I've been there and seen you back in the day at the Annandale, and I sat behind the bar. It was like it's about 5 meters from the stage. You could see the sweat dripping off your face and the sticky floors of the old Annandale. Oh, great scene. So
fabulous.
Now, there's been a big resurgence, though, Barnsley, in people buying vinyl records. They're accounting for huge numbers of album sales. What sort of vinyl records do you spin at home?
Oh, you know, depending on what mood I'm in. If I'm sitting writing a book, I'll play Miles Davis and whatnot. But, you know, quite often, you know, like, the, you know, I'll start playing vinyl and you know, I've got all sorts of, you know, Neil Young and bloody, you know, it depends on the mood of the day. The kids sort of normally start complaining when I start playing Back in Black at bloody dinner, you know?
Yeah.
but there's certainly something about vinyl that just sounds great.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was so lucky that, you know, my vinyl arrived for the week of Soul Deep. Because, you know, there's a huge vinyl shortage worldwide at the moment, because they press the records. The thing they use, it's called the presser, that they make the presser, is made out of nickel. And the biggest market, and most of these records are made in Europe, and the biggest market for nickel is Russia.
Oh, wow.
So even that war over there is even affecting records. And so it's very, very difficult. I moved my record, my pressing from there to England, and it was still held up, and I moved it to New Zealand, and we had to fight to get it on time. So get out and support the vinyl industry. It's struggling at the moment, and it's the best way to listen to music, I think.
Not only that, Barnsley, but next time I go to a trivia night, mate, I'm taking you. You know what's going on in the world.
I know what's going on. I'm chasing Evan up because, I mean, I'm all over this business.
Well, Soul Deep 30, the album, is of course out now, and you can see Barnsley live at the Aware Super Theatre this Friday. Tickets from Ticketek. Barnsley, we love you, mate. Always good to catch up.
Mate, come see the show. It's a great one. You'll love it.
Hey, thanks. And also, Barnsley,
thanks for having us, guys.
And thanks very much for that that song, Working Class Man, because it was written about me. So thanks, mate.
I'm sure it was, right? BW. See you, buddy.
The best friends of the Rush Hour podcast, part two. The Rush Hour on Triple M, June 23.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M, getting closer and closer to Origin 2 in Perth. It's only a couple of sleeps away. Triple M's got that game for you live and, of course, on the listener app. Let's go live inside Origin Camp now.
Next guest is a workhorse of the rugby league variety. He's the pride of the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles with over 177 appearances, and he's the eldest of three brothers, proving that footy runs through his veins. Since his debut, he's scored 30 tries and represented his home state of New South Wales in Origin. He's back in his rightful place. What were you thinking, Freddie? Representing New South Wales in Origin Game 2 this Sunday. Please welcome to the Rush Hour, live from the lockdown Blues camp, Jake Trbojevic.
Let's welcome in Jake Trbojevic. Hello, Jake.
How you going, guys?
Really well, Jake. How's things over in camp, mate?
No, it's been really good. We've had a couple of good days training. It's really nice being back over here. We had a good experience here a couple of years ago, so it's been good. Nice being back in camp, to be honest with you.
Hey, Jake, can you tell us how it felt? I mean, obviously left out of the first side, but, you know, you're always sort of in the mix because every time that you've played for New South Wales, you never let New South Wales down. How did that feel? And then even being back in there, you understood what you had to do to get back in there. But, mate, how good does it feel?
Yeah, no, very happy to be back, mate. Obviously, it was disappointing to miss out the first time, but, you know, I understood there's a lot of good players there and a lot of good players in front of me, so there's no dramas there, but just very happy to be back in. You know, it's always a privilege to get to play for the Blues and obviously got great players around me and lots of great coaching staff. So it's, I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm looking forward to the rest of the week, mate.
Tell you what, Jake, it's looking forward to this game because I think it's going to be really sort of fast-paced and there's so many great attacking players. And I'm hoping we see a lot of tries. Obviously, I'm hoping the Blues win, but I'm just hoping we see a lot of, you know, a lot of fast footy, a lot of tries.
Be nice if there are lots of Blues tries, but it always seems to be pretty quick games. That game one looked unbelievably fast, so I guess that's what we're expecting. Hopefully, we can come out on top this time. Obviously, Freddie's given us a few things we've got to work on and a few things we've got to change, so hopefully we can get them right and come out on top, mate.
Jake, tell us about what it's like in the Origin camp at the moment. There's obviously a huge Penrith connection in there with all the players that'll be wearing the Blues jersey.
Yeah, it is, and they're all in great form, so I guess it's trying to, like, work with them, you know, see how they like us going about our business, how we can fit in with them, you know, because they're all in great form. They've hardly lost all year or hardly lost the last couple of years. So it's great seeing their confidence as well and sort of feeding off that. And, hopefully we can go out there and really combine, a lot better than the first game and hopefully get the job done.
Hey, Jake, there's a lot of good things the way that you play and the way that you carry yourself. But, mate, one of the best defensive players I've ever seen in the game was Trevor Gilmeister. But even yourself, your tackle technique, what do you put that down to? And when a bloke like Munster is coming across the field, what are you thinking? Because he doesn't know what he's doing. So what are you thinking as a defensive player?
I'm hoping he stays away from me, to be honest, the way he's bends and moves. And he's very hard to handle. I think it's about us. We're going to really try and form a line, especially when he's going across field and that sort of thing, working together. I don't think one man can solve it on him. You know, you got to work as a unit, and you know, we've been working on that, and we've seen how we can improve and how he sort of opens up in the first game. So hopefully we can sort that out and get it right, because he's definitely a great player, and the way he played the first game was unbelievable.
And obviously, Matt Burton gets an opportunity to come in here and just show his wares. I mean, his kicking game's been so elite in the NRL, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's good. He definitely deserves it. He's a good young guy. He's been playing great the last couple of years, and he's been in great form this year. And, you know, some of the kicks he's been putting up are unbelievable.
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice seeing him, I guess, back in the centres where he won a premiership last year, and he looks really at home. You know, he sort of hasn't missed a beat there. So it's exciting for him. I'm really happy for him. He's only young, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he goes.
Hey, Jake, a bit closer to home. So we get through this Origin game, we get through the next one, and regardless of what happens, then you've got to go back to club duty. And Manly are in a precarious spot at the moment, mate. They've got to start winning and keep winning. And, I mean, you've uncovered some great young players there, Colo, particularly backs, you know.
Yeah, Colo, yeah.
How do you feel about the rest of the season?
Yeah, really good. As you said, we've got some good young players. They're gaining confidence and they're getting more and more experience, which is nice. And I think the last couple of weeks, even though we lost to the Cowboys, but the 2 weeks before that and even 75 minutes of the Cowboys game was a real step in the right direction. And hopefully that can set us up for the back end of the year, because you're right, we've got to start winning and keep winning, because I think we're 7 wins, 8 losses, which puts us right in the middle, but a lot of people are on that. So we're going to have to string a few wins together, and hopefully the confidence that those young guys have, you know, got throughout the year and with continued experience sort of pays off and we can come out on top, hopefully.
Mate, in and around Origin camp, there's always a couple of little scallywags and, you know, obviously, you know, the Fox always brings good energy, but he's obviously not there. Who's sort of taken his place or sort of that sort of personality who's always got the energy, he's always bringing it?
You know, he's been good this camp. Gutho, he's come in. In the extended squad, and he's been real good. He's always upbeat, got a lot of energy, and the way he plays, I guess, is how he is all the time. So he's been really good.
Yeah, I love Gutho, King Gutherson, yeah.
What's the biggest threats in your eyes when you were sitting back watching Origin 1 from Queensland?
I think their spine, like, they're both their hookers. Like, Harry Grant comes on, he's just a running threat, and obviously Cam Munster and Cherry Evans and Ponga, I think they've just got a lot of skill, and we didn't really control their forwards in the first game, so hopefully we can control that, and then it might stop the other guys from having such a big impact, because I thought Harry Grant and the way they ran was they were really good.
All right, Jackie, don't get bashed, mate. Manly need right. you. Have He's a great
good,
game.
Good on you, mate.
Good luck, Jack.
Thanks for having us.
June 24. The two best things to come out of Bega. One, those little Bega stringy cheese things that were great at school until that lactose intolerant kid threw up and then we couldn't bring them anymore. And our next guest, she's played State of Origin for the Blues, played for Australia. In 2016, she won the Dally M medal and in 2019, captained the Dragons in the grand final.
Be able to put on, you know, a club jersey, especially being the Dragons, was something really special and, yeah, just gives me goosebumps when I think about it.
Please welcome to the Rush Hour, Kezzy Apps.
Well, it's come around quick tomorrow night, NRLW Origin. We have one of the stars of New South Wales on the phone to talk to us now. Kezzy Apps, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. And you really are, I guess, be game 8 or 9 for you. You're a veteran of the women's Origin scene.
Yeah, it's game 9 coming up for me. Yeah, I've been around a little while. But still, the feeling never gets old.
Yeah, especially the last 2 years, Kez, you've lost to Queensland. How's that felt?
Oh.
I knew you'd say something. Smart ass.
Kezzy,
obviously, shit, losing. No. No one ever wants to lose. And obviously in that Origin space too. And we only get one chance at winning. So it's even harder to try and get that win.
No. Kez and I are good friends. And she's the ultimate competitor. Mate, wouldn't you like to see a 3-game series, Kez? Doesn't that make sense to me?
Yes, yeah, it does. I don't get next year how they want 2 games. Which is great. It's the growth, obviously, for it is great, but it either has to be 1 or 3.
Because yes.
if it's 2, it's 1-all. Then how do you decide it? Is it the previous year winner? Or,
yeah.
Flip a coin. Needs to go 3.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I was reading about Ruwan Sims talking about Origin, saying it's going to be 100% tougher and harder and faster than any other game that any of the girls have played. You don't start thinking it's club football. What's been your message to some of the debutantes for New South Wales?
Yeah, obviously Origin's just that next level, and it is. It's 100% that's the hardest game you'll ever play. You've got obviously the best of Queensland versus the best of New South Wales. So it's it's definitely faster. Hits are harder. Everything's just like more intense. So just for the new girls coming in, like, I feel like NRLW has definitely helped. Obviously the preparation and just getting the girls ready for that next level. Cause sometimes, previously we haven't really had the NRLW going into Origin, and it's, totally different level. So yeah, definitely that's helped all the girls, but, just to, you've been picked for a reason. Obviously you play really good footy and they deserve their spot in this jersey, and just to do what they normally do and just play footy and have fun, really.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kezzy, I don't want to draw you too far into this, but what are the interesting chats about women's NRLW this particular year? Obviously, the growth of it, it's just out of control growth, but a lot of talk has been around the Queensland girls and their payment structure and how advanced it is to, say, you guys.
Yeah, look, there has been a little bit of chat around that, and obviously in the media, as they like to do, and to, you know, do the different pay comparisons. Mm. But, look, I think there's more to it than what obviously has been said, and that's sort of out of our control. It's generally what, you know, the NRL are doing for the women's game and how much investment they're putting into that. So I know obviously Queensland's jumped on board and and, you know, paying that different gap that the NRL aren't funding for us. But, yeah, look, there's obviously more things behind the scenes that are happening that everyone's probably not aware of. But, yeah, you know, it's a hard one because obviously – it's still a lot of money that what we're getting, but obviously in comparison to the men, we're a little bit behind. But I'm sure that, you know, whatever's happening and whatever's there already, obviously we're happy about that. But yeah, there's obviously difference in that pay gap, and I'm sure New South Wales are doing all they can to help bridge that gap.
Hey, Kez, what does it mean to you to be the captain of New South Wales? You know, I know you do a lot of grassroots stuff. You do a lot of stuff in and around the Dragons, and obviously the girls and stuff like that. But you know, as an ambassador, you know, you're a wonderful ambassador for rugby league. But what does it mean to you? You know, I got to meet your dad that time when playing bowls and stuff, you know, Mad Roosters man. So what does it mean to you?
Oh, it obviously means a lot to me. Yeah, to be named captain and to be seen as that leader and have that respect, obviously, not only from the coaches, but obviously from your players as well. It's definitely humbling, and it's definitely a proud moment of mine, which I don't take very lightly. Obviously, it's something that, yeah, it makes me really proud. And obviously I know it makes my family really, really proud, and where I'm from, everyone's, you know, always tells me how much they follow my journey and how proud they are of me as a player and of a person. And that's really special as well. So, it's hard to explain. It's something that, like, I never, like, sort of see myself. I've never saw myself as a leader or as a captain. And sort of when it's sort of happening over the last couple of years, like, I'm like, oh, maybe I am all right at this if I keep getting asked at it. So I just try and be myself and try and make all the girls as comfortable as possible, because I know what it's like when, you know, they're in that sort of space, and you know, we're going to get the best out of them if they're comfortable and in their environment. So just trying to make sure that they feel like they belong, and so they can play their best footy.
Kezzy, we asked Jake Trbojevic this yesterday. I mean, where are the threats from a Queensland perspective for you in the NRLW?
I think obviously the best of the best playing against each other, and they're all going to be pretty, you know, they're all very talented. We ought to watch for them all. But I guess we've got a few players that we're, you know, got to keep our eye out for. Obviously, their spine, and Ali and Taryn and Tamika at the back there. You know, we've worked well together, all NRLW, and obviously using those combinations for Origin. So I feel like if we can sort of take away their time and not let them, you know, get their hands on the ball as much. And if they do, we're flooding in numbers to try and shut them down.
Yeah. Well, Kez, we know that you're busy. You know, I want you to play well, which you always do. But I've got to ask, at some stage, can we get you a part of the Triple M call team? Because I know Charlie White, we talked about it. We'd love you to be a part of Triple M. So if you're not busy, we'd love you to come and do a game at some stage.
I would love to come and have a yarn with you guys.
Yeah, no, but we mean as in calling one of the games, whether it's sideline or sort of in the box.
Her focus at the moment is beating Queensland.
Hey? Yeah, coming into the office.
Are you trying to get me into work?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying you've got plenty, but it's just great. I think you're doing great things.
Kezzy, I'm just wondering if Del's now in charge of who's on the call team. Can I get some more games, Del?
Oh, mate, I think you're right, mate. You're okay.
Good on you, Kezzy. Good luck tomorrow night.
No worries, guys. Go the Blues.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.